Dr. Mark Lesser, assistant professor of biology. And what we're doing here in the cemetery is collecting data for a laboratory analysis of human demography over time. And we've divided our data collection into two time periods, up to 1864 and post-1864, which really speaks to the history of this area, and that there are a lot of graves in Elmwood Cemetery from Civil War casualties, and also from the other effects of the wartime era, as disease and other just poor living conditions were much more prevalent than in post-Civil War times.
What class is this, and how does this apply to the class?
So this is General Ecology, Biology 420, and it applies to the class because humans are very much a part of ecology, and so it's really interesting to look at human data. But a big part of ecology is looking at how populations grow over time, but also the survivorship of those populations and the mortality rates within those populations. And so this type of analysis can be applied to any species, and it's something that we've spent quite a bit of lecture time looking at from a theoretical point of view, and now coming out and collecting real data on it gives them a much more, you know, hands-on understanding of the material.
My name is James Brumall. I'm the director of the George Tyler Moore Center for the Study of the Civil War and an assistant professor of history here at Shepherd. What Mark basically asked is that I come into his classroom and provide some sort of historical context for what was going on. They used a historic cemetery, which is Elmwood, and Elmwood has an 18th and 19th century portion, a Presbyterian and a Methodist part, and then the cemetery itself, as kind of we know it today, dates to 1869, and it was a so-called Confederate cemetery. So it was founded by a group of local women. And the thing that, you know, sparked Mark's interest is how might the Civil War play some sort of role in skewing, if you will, the demographic data. Students in his classes have very little history, while students in my classes have very little science. And so we can actually help each other out in a number of different ways by trying to conduct these types of interdisciplinary collaborative ventures. And so I think in the future, I'm going to try to bring Mark to my class and maybe talk about something that deals more in his wheelhouse. But, you know, I think it's kind of a natural coupling. And I think the students were given some vital information about their community that many of them didn't have, and then additional information that certainly helped them out with this specific project. Mm-hmm. It's unusual, actually, despite all the factors being primed for it, to have collaborative ventures. I think it shows the students that the sciences and the humanities matter a great deal, and that one informs the other in profound ways. And I think that's something that's very significant for us to think about. If you take out the history, all of a sudden the demographic data loses its relevancy. If you take out the science, we don't have the demographic data that informs our history. And so the two ventures are very much necessary to form a kind of complete portrait or a complete picture of what's going on in this community, again, across several centuries. And so, you know, one informs the other in profound ways, in ways that, you know, are very necessary. And I think for the students, it's a good example of teamwork, collaboration, of what exactly you can do with your degree and how you can think outside of a traditional box.